This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That is our good friend Tim May, who now calls Letterman Row home. He's been with us since day one of this show, and right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hi, Tim. How are you? How's the family?
Doing well. By the way, I didn't know I've been here since day one. That's an honor. And number two, we've been getting to keep our grandson these last many weeks while my son and his wife work at home. And that's the only breach, really. We're having a protocol for the most part, although I am wearing a mask. And, you know, what I've found during this time period, Andy, is that when you go out in public, you can definitely see who the stupid people are now. They're the ones without not wearing masks. So maybe that'll rile some of your listeners. We'll see.
I think it will.
Tim May rile the listeners? Are you kidding? Come on now.
I just don't understand people being sort of selfish and stupid all at the same time right now, you know, when a little bit of prevention is worth a pound of cure, so to speak. So we'll see what happens.
You know, Tim, the one thing about that, if before we get into the sports, you know, everything we've heard, if you're wearing a mask, okay, it might help you some, but it will definitely help the guy standing across from you. You know, it's...
Well, yeah.
And I just think, yeah, when I see a guy wearing a mask, I almost think, I almost want to say thank you, you know, because they're being considerate of me.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in some places like Costco, et cetera, you know, they require you to wear a mask. Some places aren't. And, you know, to each his own, I guess, but not really sometimes when you're all fighting the same end, you know. That's the way I look at it. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I'm just really amazed at people feeling they're being defiant, you know, by not wearing a mask when they've been requested to do so. I'm not sure that's the act of civil disobedience you're really looking for at this point, but go ahead.
So do you have reservations for a restaurant tonight?
Do I have reservations about going to a restaurant? What was the question?
I guess you could look at that either way, Tim.
No, I've gotten takeout. I've gotten carry out. Yeah, me and my wife, you know, I'm semi-retired. I can kind of afford it. I've gotten takeout three or four times a week pretty much during this thing. I mean, trying to keep the wheels greased, so to speak. But, I don't have a reservation for a restaurant tonight. No, I don't. But I have a son who works in the bar restaurant industry, and, you know, they kind of reopened just their outdoor patio actually it's their rooftop patio down in the short north this, you know, last week and stuff. And, you know, it's just an interesting time. They're being very cautious and careful about the social distancing, et cetera. But, you know, I mean, I understand, believe me, the desire to get out and about and to get back to some semblance of normal. But, you know, as even Gene Smith pointed out yesterday, you know, the new normal may not be what people are looking for. You know, if you only have 25,000 people allowed into Ohio Stadium so you can keep social distancing. But you know what? That's still bigger than a lot of the college crowds around there. Go ahead, though. I didn't mean to segue into that. I'm sorry.
No, well, you did. You did a great job of segueing. You should have your own show. Listen, Tim, what's your –
Hey, by the way, my podcast this week, I got Urban Meyer on my podcast this week, and he's talking about this, among other things, kind of like being a survival of the fittest kind of like situation, he thinks, for like, you know, some athletic departments, et cetera, around the country, because this is going to be a tough fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L time for a lot of these marginal, you know, schools that are just fighting to kind of keep athletic departments afloat, et cetera. So we're in for an interesting, this is going to be an interesting epoch in the realm of college athletics. Go ahead now.
Is that why it's important for Gene Smith to have that 20,000 seat thought in the back of his head? I mean, look, Ohio State probably spends more money than almost all the colleges because they have all the Division I sports. I mean, so when he sits yesterday and talks about, you know, trying to get 20,000 into the shoe or, you know, as much as maybe 50,000, I mean, I don't
–
yes, it's about football,
no,
but it's also about – Oh, okay.
Yeah, he
didn't say that?
He said 50,000. He said their models have shown somewhere south of 30 and probably more in the 20 to 22 range. I've heard they could go as high maybe as 25, but it's going to take discipline on everyone's part, including, you know, the red coats, or if people decide to get all of a sudden you get, you know, 30 people decide they're going to get together because they want to form a small, you know, block O or something, you know, are they going to be allowed? You know, no. I mean, you know, is like I said on my podcast a few weeks ago, the most interesting thing, we could see the largest Script Ohio in history, you know, if the band practices social distancing. So there's all kinds of changes. There's all kinds of changes in the works you got to figure. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
That's pretty good. Would you want to go to a game? Tim, we threw this out earlier.
Oh.
You know, if there's 20,000 fans allowed, would you want to be one?
Well, I don't think that's going to be a question a lot of people have. I'm wearing a mask, and if they set up some type of like airports or whatever, some industries now, you know, a lot of industries are getting the ability to check your temperature before you go in and things like that. Some of the telltale symptoms, et cetera. Yeah, I would go to a game in a heartbeat. I mean, I was already planning to go to a couple of games around the country this year, like I did last year. You know, I got to see Alabama at Texas A&M. I got to see my buddy of mine got tickets for Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. Come to find out, I think that was their first non-sellout in a long time, so maybe I could have gotten them. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, I mean, I would go to a game. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't stand close to people, but I love college football. The question is, see, this is the conundrum that Gene Smith and his ilk are dealing with right now. As I've said on y'all's show before, football is the most congregational sport there is. I'm talking about college football because of not just the crowd in the stands, which, you know, packed, you know, like sardines, unlike in a pro stadium, but also the fact that you've got 22 guys running into each other in close proximity every play. And, you know, like I think a lot of people have said, you know, if it's not safe enough for fans to be in the stands, then how could it possibly be safe enough for the players to be on the field? You know, it's kind of like the reverse thought about it, because unlike baseball, where they only are close to each other when there's a close play at first or slide at home or something, in football, you got linemen running into each other, big-time linemen sweating and huffing and puffing on every play. So that's the more interesting part is that's what Gene has to be convinced that in fact it is safe for the players, because that ultimately the people involved, because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to is, you know, people aren't going to show up just to watch a vacant lot.
I you brought up something interesting in the band just now, and I'm like, if Gene Smith's got to figure out if they can only have 22,000 in the shoe, is the marching band part of that 22,000? When you know that, you know, I mean, you got to pay for that marching band on top of that, and that you're going to take up, you know, 100 seats there where you could have somebody buying a ticket where the marching band was.
But in the marching band part and parcel to the tradition and the glory of college football? Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
In some places. Yeah. Some places it's the show, you know.
Right.
But people leave after halftime. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, what will be the scene on game day is a big question. You know, we're sitting here talking about Ohio Stadium, you know, 105,000 people, usually 104,000, 105,000 people usually at a game. You know, Autzen Stadium, where Ohio State right now is still scheduled to play Oregon, is what, a 55, maybe, I don't even know if it's 60,000, but it's huge. But, you know, obviously it's known for its ambiance or, the, you know, the din, the decibel level. But, you know, what would be a social distancing crowd size in that, like 8 to 10,000? You know, I mean, but the thing is, this is a 1 year before a vaccine is found. This is the 1 year when, hey, you know what? Just suck it up, folks. you know, as I said a while ago, wear a mask, you know. We're not going to, probably not going to have to wear a mask the rest of your life unless, you know, a lot of countries where they do wear masks all the time, which they seem to get by. But for 1 year, this might be the, quote, norm. But, you know, the big question is how safe is it going to be for the players, et cetera? Just like, you know, June the 8th, Ohio State's going to allow, and it got passed last night by the NCAA Council, that they're going to let some athletic teams, I think it's football, men's basketball, women's basketball, and I forgot who else, maybe start returning to use campus facilities or, you know, athletic department facilities starting on June the 1, I think. But Ohio State's going to start, I do believe it's June the 8th, and but it was not going to be a all-come thing. It's going to be on a situation where you're going to have no more than 10 people in a group. One of those will probably be an instructor for, you know, the weightlifting aspect of things. So we have 9 players and an instructor, and they're not all going to be in there at the same time, meaning the group. So you're going to one run group in, let them do their thing, and then run the next group in and try to clean in between and all that stuff. So, you know, this is to begin with, this is going to be an incredible exercise. And, you know, Ohio State's not even encouraging all of its players. It's got about 45 players here locally, some of whom are still living in their apartments and stuff. And they're the ones they're trying to cater to here, because once you can open just regular public gyms, then they're thinking, well, you know, what could be safer for our players than just opening the Woody Hayes, you know, at least the weightlifting area and things like that, the workout area, and let them do their thing there instead of, like, maybe counting on a local gym to keep them safe, so to speak. So, you know, it's going to be piecemeal at the beginning, and then hopefully then, you know, I think everybody's hopeful that by early July there's going to be some kind of, like, situation where you can bring everybody back and together, you know, to a certain extent, and begin preparations for a season. But the idea that it's going to be exactly the season as scheduled, I think at the moment, I think that's still a little far-fetched.
Tim, having Urban on your show and the survival of the fittest thought, I think is really, really interesting. Do you think this is okay, we're dealing with this situation now, but do you think this situation leads to major changes in the way we look at college athletics, or maybe major changes in the structure of college athletics, or is this just something we work through and then it'll be business as usual?
Well, here's the thing. Ohio State, Alabama, Texas, you know, name the major schools, most of the major schools in the Southeastern Conference, their athletic departments are self-providing, meaning they raise all their funds in some formal fashion without tapping into a university, you know, the university coffers. But the Mid-American schools, maybe even some of the – there's a lot of other schools in the – I'm talking about just in Division I, that have to have, you know, basically support from the general fund, so to speak, of the university, you know, the student activity fund, et cetera. And those are the ones that are really going to get slammed here. And that's the tsunami, I think, that's probably coming, because – if in fact there's not a vaccine found sooner rather than later. But even with Ohio State and stuff, like Gene Smith right now, the way I understand it, behind the scenes, he's adamant that he's not going to cut any of the 36 sports. Ohio State has the most extensive athletic programs in terms of number in the country. And he's adamant that they've not cut those, at least now. But they are going to do some severe budget cutting in all of those, because they were already in a little bit of a pinch heading into this year, from the standpoint of, like, now Rutgers and Maryland are going to be able to, you know, are going to get their full share of, like, the Big Ten network money and things. But the point is, what we don't know, even as we're sitting here talking about whether they're going to have football or not, what's it going to cost to produce a football program this year? And then are the revenues, you know, you're not going to have the revenues from the stadium unless something miraculous happens between now and September. You're going to, your revenue from just having a stadium crowd is going to be cut. You look at Ohio State, it's going to be cut by 3/4. You know, if you're talking about maybe 25,000, that's 1/4 of the usual stadium, of the usual capacity, or the usual crowd. I'm stammering here. I don't know why I'm doing that, but the bottom line is, well, that's a lot of revenue. You know, a $7 or $8 million home net, you know, revenue for each home game is going to get cut, going to get sliced. So that, but Ohio State might be able to weather this storm, you know, but is an Ohio U or is a Bowling Green or is a, you know, Arkansas State or somebody like that, those are the ones that are going to really take some hits here.
Tim, thank you very much. We always appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you in the future, especially when we get more stuff.
And by the way, the other thing is, you know, are all the sponsors going to be on board? Are all the sponsors going to be able to step up and produce, et cetera, for these for the televising of these sports? And then, you know, in the fall. And number three, what if you've got college football, NFL, NHL, NBA, and MLS? I just threw that in there because people get mad if I don't. MLS, all these other people. Auto racing, they're all going to be running, you know, golf is going to be running its majors in the fall. I mean, what are the networks going to show and not show? That's going to be the real question. And when are you going to have to, like, schedule your game just to be on TV? I think we're in for an interesting fall.
It'll be fun, Tim. Thank you. Enjoy your babysitting and enjoy your retirement as well.
Did I run over time? I'm sorry about that.
No, you were great.
No, you never run over time. And we want to hear
the – maybe I'll get a free deep out of it. And,
again, where do we hear the podcast again? On Letterman Row with Urban Meyer?
LettermanRow.com. You can also get it on YouTube and all the other you can get the audio on all the major platforms, you know, like Stitcher and Apple. What's the Apple?
iTunes?
It's just Apple Podcast,
iTunes,
isn't
yeah. Apple, iTunes, Apple Podcast. Yeah, it's all over the place, man.
All right. That's why you're the man, Tim.
Appreciate the promo.
We got you. Tim May, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Thank you, Tim.
All right.
Tim May, the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I love Tim May.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.